This is a closed circuit direct communication to District Attorney Neil Pinkston. General, give us a couple of minutes here. We want to talk to you very much, but we also have another phone guest on, and I am very happy to have Chief Roddy on with us, David Roddy, who has been acting police chief for some time now, and after yesterday's roundup of 54, I guess, validated gang members using the RICO Act, this is a massive blow to the criminal element in our town. It's the first time I've had a chance to talk to Chief Roddy on the air. Thank you very much, Chief. Are you with us? Chief, are you there?
I think I have you. You're real muffled. I don't know if it's where I am. I'm driving. I apologize for that.
I am having some sinus problems, but I will crank it up as I will speak more loudly. And actually, I don't want to speak much at all right this second. I want you to. And just give us a little kind of inside look, dumb it down for us, about how this came about yesterday and the end result, which is clearly positive.
Absolutely, Jeff. This started a considerable amount of time ago. We routinely come together to just talk about what's going on in investigations within the police department, how they will cross over with other law enforcement partners, whether that's Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, East Ridge, Red Bank, Signal, or federal or state, to, one, deconflict, make sure we're not getting into each other's lanes and about to do something improper or to mess up an investigation, but also to see, if they do cross over, how can we work collectively? How can we bring the finite resources we have in government and in law enforcement in its most effective and efficient way possible? And through those conversations, General Pinkston realized there were similar nexus in some of these investigations relative to some of the cold case stuff, some of the items that we were working on, some of the items that the sheriff was working on, our task force officers. And through a conversation with General Pinkston, Sheriff Hammond, and others, we put some additional resources into the cold case unit, and it kind of steered itself over to focus on many of these cases specifically. And as a result of that, and I'll let General Pinkston speak to the RICO. He can probably go sure. much greater in depth, and also because that's open, I don't want to discuss outside my lane as well.
Absolutely. I know that it is a gamble, actually, to even go with RICO sometimes, but to talk about it at this early. But I mean, this is tremendous, and it's something that the city has needed, and something that so many of us have been looking for and waiting for, which is the hammer, the real by God hammer that we talked about a long time ago, coming down.
Absolutely, Jen, and. For me, the highlight, I mean, the RICO is it. It brings that message of one or all, if you as an individual and in a group decide that you will inflict harm on this community,
thank you.
We will use every lever that we can to convince you otherwise.
That is exactly what we're told.
The greatest thing in this is the ability to bring five homicides to closure. That's five families that, while you can never completely heal from that, have something that makes them understand that people did not give up on it.
Oh, no, I definitely
not just forget their loved ones.
I saw, and I will be brief, and I saw, please feel free to call in or come in at any given time. I saw, you know, a number of victims' families say that it may not be closure, but by God, it felt good. And the thing is, we talked about. I'm just going to go back into time machine for a second, VRI, and that was it. The message was that if you allow yourself to be looped in, if you're going to join, if you're going to fly the colors, if you're going to hang out with these folks, you're going to bear the burden. And I think that obviously we saw some officers and a lot of people in the community that said, well, there's not been much of a burden to bear. Some people have gone in, but that whole, if you're a part of it, you're going down too, even a tiny part of it. I know those call-ins out. I know those visits were made. And I know the positivity was there. But sometimes you got to punch somebody in the nose to get some attention. And these people are looking at some serious, serious time. This isn't something they're going to laugh off.
Absolutely not.
Now, is there? I'm just going to go ahead and ask, 54 out of how many were actually on the original list?
54 was the original list that we moved
was.
With yesterday.
Okay, fantastic.
Now,
100%.
Yes.
And now, and some were already in jail for various infractions. All right, I'll ask the question I know the answer to already. Is this phase one?
With regards to...
Any other RICO maneuvers, or should they be shaking in their boots in other parts of town?
To give the best, the strongest statement that I can, if you're committing violence and harming this community, you should definitely be shaking somewhere in town.
I hope so. And by the way, that picture of you at the mic on the front page of today's Times Free Press with that group of folks behind you, they couldn't look any more intimidating unless they were wearing Kevlar. So I wouldn't want that group after me. Chief, thank you very much. JR, do you have anything you'd like to ask? We're moving the commercial. We're blowing commercials off for the time being. This is very important to our community.
How long is this, as a RICO type of group investigation, how long has this been going on?
It's within the month's time frame of compiling and working towards that, but the actual capture documentation, investigation of individuals, these have been, depending upon the individual, for quite some time. But that's kind of how a RICO builds. But I would prefer that General Pinkston speak to that one, as he can give much better answers.
And my last question, I'll let you go.
How do you coordinate getting, obviously you have to do it at the same time, right?
How many agencies? I'm going to slide in. How many agencies? Yeah. Yes, that was kind of where JR was going. And how do you get everybody to work together sometimes when it almost is part of the job concept to cross paths?
With regards to starting the investigation?
No, I mean just arresting 54 people.
Yeah.
You've seen the operations plans that that law enforcement here has done in the past. It's bringing everybody together, you brief it out, but the greatest asset to that was our intelligence investigators as well as intelligence investigators from other agencies brought all of that in over the last few weeks to basically build packets on each one of the individuals so we know where to go. It was a deliberate, concerted, well-briefed effort that started at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, and numerous dozens of area and federal law enforcement partners went out to locate these individuals.
But it has to be coordinated at the same time, or I'm texting Jeff and saying, Jeff, I'm getting arrested or whatever. The cops are at my house, right?
Which he's done, by the way.
Yes. That entire group left yesterday at the same time and went to various locations around the city to do just that.
Wow. And the Athens Park Bloods, I am sorry, I lived on the south side for some time. I don't know where Athens Park is. I know that it began there. There was one leader that is considered to be the beginner of the genesis of this group, but they were all over town. Where the heck is Athens Park?
Well, see, that's what you get into when you talk about gang affiliations in Chattanooga, is we are not as geographically centralized as what many people believe gangs to be in other cities. Mm-hmm. So you will have members of a certain group that may very well live in various parts of the city.
Oh, really?
14th Street Bloods.
Sometimes actions and affiliations will centralize, but Chattanooga has a very different model to itself.
Interesting.
But there's one thing we know. These 54 were somehow, you could do the connect the dot with through texts, emails, phone calls, transfers of money, and criminal actions were taking place as a group, and they can be connected.
That's correct.
Thank you. Chief, by the way, no matter what anybody else tells you, I like the beard.
Thanks,
I do.
Appreciate it.
I know we're going to do this. I mean, I'm so tickled we just got that phone call. This is the time where we would normally be going to a commercial break. But because we got the call from Chief Roddy after the big grand jury indictment yesterday of 54 gang members, we now have Attorney General Neil Pinkston on with us. And, General, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very glad that you guys were successful yesterday. I'm extremely...
I can hardly hear you.
I know. I don't know what to tell you. I'll speak even louder. I know the chief had the same problem.
That's better right there.
I do have volume available to me, and I will give it to you. A big day yesterday. The chief did defer to you about RICO itself and how it came into place. And I think this is exactly what so many people have been waiting for, even if they didn't know what to call it. Give us a little bit of a nutshell about what RICO is and how it was enacted.
RICO, in a nutshell, is either a legal entity, maybe, or an illegal entity that works towards criminal behavior that the overall goal is to benefit the the entity in various forms or fashions.
Yeah, RICO has always kind of been associated with the mafia, right?
Generally, yes. Organized crime. It was the federal statute was passed in 1970, I believe, and then the Tennessee version was in 1986. But then, recently, through the efforts of Vince Dean when he was the legislature, they added criminal street gangs as part of those that RICO could apply to.
And nobody exactly rushed to use that early on. I know it's something you need to be extremely careful with.
Right.
I mean, it was like going after Capone for taxes. It's kind of an end run to a degree. It's certainly legal and effective, but you can blow it if you don't do it exactly right. And so this must have been a very big decision. Y'all must have really done a lot of eye contact and a lot of praying, let's shoot holes in it.
You know, lots of, you can't say enough about the investigators of all the agencies, lots of many, many hours of investigation and research and conversations about, you know, how does this apply or does it not apply? And so, but I think we found that there was a unique opportunity to move forward.
Now, I asked the chief a second ago, but actually I did not realize there was a handy-dandy little boxed-out thing here in the Times Free Press. The CPD, the Sheriff's Department, Housing Authority, TBI, BATF, FBI, DEA, and the U.S. Marshals Service, that's a lot of whoop-ass to bring down on anybody.
That's a lot of initials.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot of initials. That's correct.
And I mentioned earlier, I said when the Mayor Littlefield was in office, he said there are maybe 7 or 8 individuals out there really creating all this trouble, and we kind of scoffed at that, and then it turned out to be, it seemed more true than untrue. So 54, I mean, even if half of them were already jailed, that has got to make a dent, or does it just form a vacuum?
Well, you know, not to be vague, but I guess time will tell on, you know, what impact it has on the community, but hopefully it will have make it safer and send a message that, you know, that law enforcement doesn't give up and we'll keep trying until we make things better.
And I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the chief, and I know what the answer is, but I feel like I almost have to. Do you think we will see this kind of organizational,
yeah, I was gonna say coordinated effort
put together in other parts of town? I know these people were spread out, but so are other gangs.
Yes, I'm positive that we'll see it.
And I looked at the list of those indicted. Only 4 of them don't have nicknames, and all their bonds are lower. So that should teach something out there. You folks don't have a slick nickname.
Let me ask you a dumb question. How coordinated, Neil, do you folks have to be with the police department, and does that happen every day? And I'm asking the question because I'm ignorant, because I don't know how it works.
He is.
No, I mean, we in our office talk to law enforcement every day. You know, somebody will call in with they're on a side of the road with a question, or their question about a search warrant, but this was a more of a coordinated, like, meeting very, very often, regularly, and updating one another, and what does the map look like to accomplish this, and what do we need to do to get it finished? So, yes, we talk to them all the time, but this was much more focused, and the sheriff and the chief dedicated resources to it, so without that, it would have never happened.
So there was a lot of background. There was a lot of paperwork involved in this and research,
God.
Yeah. You have no idea.
It would be a nightmare for somebody like us. Hmm. Now, Emmett Gnapp did a very good job writing the story for the Times Free Press. My final question to you, it's going to be kind of a squirmy one. It says the indictments came a day before the next scheduled VRI call-in. And it says the call-in served as tent poles to the VRI. And, of course, you and I have talked about it. We've all talked about it. Was it a success? Was it a failure? What's happening with the VRI? And I said earlier this morning, clearly things have been moving forward, and this is a wonderful result. But now I would assume that the VRI probably has served its purpose, because I don't know that anybody would trust it at this point, right? Or am I very wrong?
You trust the VRI?
Yes. I mean, if it was the day before a call-in and they had people kind of, you know, that they had on tap, people they've talked to, information on, and then boom, they all of a sudden get indicted. I just don't know what the next call-in would look like.
And that's a good question, and I'll leave that to those who originated the VRI. But it wasn't intentional. The coming the indictment had nothing to do with the call-in show.
Had so no those, time. Had nothing to do with the time. Okay.
Although close in time are not interrelated.
I'm just reading that out of Emmett's Times Free Press article. So I don't want to do anything to interfere with the effectiveness. I don't think that any of the Athens bloods that might still left be out there listening to this particular station this morning. But I hope they are. And, General, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir. And I just appreciate the time. And we shall talk again in the future.
Thank you very much. And I look forward to that. 7:26.
Good afternoon, okay?
All right. Now, that is something we haven't been able to do in a long, long time. And it makes me feel very, very good that they are using and utilizing the tool that is this radio station, that is your radio station. It belongs to everybody out there in the Chattanooga listening area. It's a public, it's public airwaves, and this is exactly the best case scenario for how they should be used.